Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 a.m. to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6. We encourage you to give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find the programs of our TV that you can view. Also, there's a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We hope that you will avail yourself to these opportunities of Bible study and worship periods, that we might get to know you, that we might open the Bible with you, study together, show you your need for God in your life and a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. In the last few weeks, we have been discussing the subject of sin. We're going to continue that subject today in looking at the sins of ignorance. The issue of sins committed in ignorance probably bothers more brethren than any other spiritual question. Over the past few years, this subject has become intensified by the controversy surrounding how the Christian sins committed in ignorance are forgiven. We will attempt to address 2 points in this lesson. Number one, to define with the Bible a sin committed in ignorance. And number two, how such sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. First of all, we want to look at sins of ignorance in the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 22 through 36, these verses teach that a sin committed in ignorance, principally a sin committed through thoughtlessness, carelessness, or rashness, in verses 30 and 31, sins done unintentionally are mentioned. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Leviticus 5, verse 17. These sins are still commandments of the Lord. Therefore, ignorance is not an excuse. In every case, the sinner who committed it in ignorance was committed to make a sacrifice so that the priest could make an atonement for them. These were remembered on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, and we can see references of this in Hebrews 5, verse 2, and Hebrews 9, verse 7. These were referred to as guilty. They were guilty until these sins were forgiven. Would this just include those done without knowing the old law? No. If one included any sin committed thoughtlessly or done rashly due to the weakness of the flesh. What was the law concerning forgiveness of these types of sins? According to Leviticus 4, and verse 3, verse 14, 23, 28 and 32. The kings, the elders, the priests, and the common citizens were required to make a sacrifice of sin offering for that atonement. He must confess that he had sinned. Leviticus 5 and verse 5. Was this future guilt when he became aware of the sin he committed? Not according to Leviticus 5 verse 17. He was guilty before God. Let me read that passage again. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear the iniquity. Even if he doesn't know it, he bears the iniquity until that sin is forgiven. Some believe the things done on the Day of Atonement were forgiven without them ever coming to the knowledge of being confessed, as we read in Leviticus 4, and in Leviticus 5. Is this so? Paul does not agree. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 and 4, he said the bloods and goats, full bulls and goats, could not adequately take away sin. The Day of Atonement was to instruct the Jew no efficiency in the blood of animals. It was a temporary measure. How do we know? Why offer them continually if it was removed? How could something be remembered again if it had not at least been known once? This was not a catch-all sacrifice. This sacrifice was for those things atoned for according to the instruction in Leviticus 4 and 5. Not for those not remembered, but for those sins that were committed and then became known. Now, sins of ignorance in the New Testament. Jesus makes a comparison between three servants. One who knew his master's will, one who did not do it. Second, the one who knew it and did it. And the third, who neither knew it nor did the master's will. The first and the third were guilty as disobedient servants, and both were punished. Who was faithful? The one who knew and the one who obeyed. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, when the thief on the cross, does this mean that those who were guilty of murdering the Son of God were automatically forgiven by Jesus' prayer? What did he ask for on the cross? In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, listen to the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 23, verse number 34, he said, Father, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Now, did this mean that they were automatically forgiven without ever acknowledging that they were guilty of killing the Son of God? Of course not. Peter said that they also did it in ignorance when he addressed the Jews in Acts 3 and verse 17. As does Paul say concerning the Gentiles in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. No forgiveness until acknowledged and repented of. Jesus' prayer was answered on the cross on the day of Pentecost when those who had nailed him to a cross were first given the opportunity of gaining forgiveness of sin. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, in chapter 26 and verse 9 through 11, Galatians 1, 13 and 14, and 1 Timothy 1, 13, Paul said that he had sinned in ignorance. When did he become right before God? He did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He helped in the stoning of Stephen. He gave his voice against the disciples. He even put them in prison and put them to death. When did he get forgiven? When did he stand right before God? Not until he sought forgiveness and accepted the Lord's terms. In Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, he was told to go into the city and it would be told to him what to do. In Acts chapter 22, in recounting his own conversion, he makes the statement in Acts 22, verse 16, of his own actions. It says, and I quote, And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, he called on the Lord's authority, he obeyed the terms of the conditions that God gave him, and he was forgiven. He was not forgiven at the time that he did those sins in ignorance until the blood of Christ washed them away. In Romans 9, 1 through 5, verse 30 through 33, and in Romans 10. I want to read Romans 10, verses 1 through 4, because it is very pertinent to our discussion. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, in these passages, Paul laments at his brethren in Israel on their sinful condition because of ignorance. They have zeal, they have determination, but they don't have knowledge. Did that excuse their conduct? No. Paul warns brethren not to follow the ignorant ways of the Gentiles in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Also in chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Also not to be ignorantly deceived like Eve was in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4, by the subtlety of the devil. Again, ignorance is not an excuse. Yes, he acknowledged they were ignorant, but he gave them requirements and things that they could do in order to overcome their ignorance. Now, forgiveness of sins committed in ignorance. What do we do about these sins? Simon sinned through ignorance when he tried to purchase the gift of God with money. What was he told to do? He was told to pray that the thought of his heart might be forgiven of him because he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He was a child of God because he obeyed in Acts 8:13. Walking in the light after his conversion, he was a babe in Christ. His sin was one of weakness, ignorance, and the lack of circumspection, Ephesians 5:17. He did what he was told. In Acts 8, verse 24, he asked Peter to pray for him that these things might not come upon him. How long would Simon remain in sin? Until he repented and sought forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Did Peter tell him not to worry about his sin because of his condition of ignorance and because he didn't know better? No. Was Simon a presumptuous, high-handed sinner? No. Because thou hast thought. How would he ever get himself free? Prayer, repentance, and forgiveness granted by God. God's remedy for the erring child of God is forgiveness through the blood that was shed on the cross. In Psalms chapter 19, verse 12, it talks about secret faults. The doctrine of continuous cleansing is constructed on the premise that all children of God are guilty of sins without which they are ignorant and of which they can't repent. Some change their names, sins of weakness, unwitting sins, sins of ignorance, unintentional sin, or secret faults. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Psalms 19:12. Here's what some say about this passage. Concerning these unwitting sins, honest mistakes, not evident to the conscious mind, we are to pray to God to cleanse us from these secret faults. David did not mean that God should cleanse him from faults he was trying to hide from others, but that he desired forgiveness of sins that were hidden from David. In other words, David recognized that he was guilty of sins that he could not identify, sins committed in ignorance, that he needed forgiveness even though he could not specifically confess them. By secret faults, I do not understand him to have reference to sins unknown to God or to other people. He was speaking of sins which may have been unknown to him, unknown in the same mind and the heart that could commit presumptuous sin. Like the humble Christians today, he simply recognized that he might not have knowledge or ability to understand his errors, but he believed that God would cleanse him from such sins. Obviously, he could not identify them or specify and repent of such sins by name, or else they would not be secret. Well, what does the text teach? Can we all know our sin? This is an important premise for us to get our mind around. As some have taught, some sins we cannot have knowledge of, therefore we cannot repent and confess them and seek forgiveness. Is this true or is this an assumption? What does this word secret mean? The word Hebrew word kathar means, let us look at some parallel passages and maybe that will help us. We will look at some parallel passages next week. What I want you to see is that there are sins that we may not be aware of right away. Or we may become recognized and understand that we've sinned later when we have a deeper knowledge of God's Word. What do we do about those sins? Do we just believe that the grace of God will take care of them, or that the blood of Christ will automatically wash them away like a windshield wiper washes away rain? No, it's a little bit more depth than that. And we're going to begin next week by looking at what do we do with these sins that we don't become aware of right away. We can't specify them. We don't know them because our knowledge is not where it should be. Next week, we will examine how we can know our sin, what we do when we find out, and how we can gain forgiveness. Yes, sins can be forgiven. That's the good news. Thank you for listening. We'll tune in again next Lord's Day.